top of 3, 2, 1.
This is for you.
You.
My number one.
And you take it from here, Dave. James.
Bright light. Big stage. 50,000 fans screaming in a rage. Bodyguards. And limousines. This is the way I see you in my dreams. Paparazzi flash. 100 pictures all of you. Hanging on my bedroom wall. I'm a kid again.
What'd you feel?
Feel like 13. But I mean, since I fell in love,
I'll eat your coochie, baby.
Okay.
What did you say? I'll eat your coochie, baby?
I thought that ain't what he say. I'll eat your coochie, baby.
Oh, baby.
Dang, that's going to be my new
like
one.
Like you were superstar.
Yes, I'm your number one fan. Hello.
I'm gonna use that.
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying?
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to No Chaser Podcast. I'm Tim Chant the Rock Zoo.
I'm Ricky Shucks.
I'm Nikki Blades.
I sang, I hit the falsetto for you, dog.
Hey, you did. At first, I thought we were going Maxwell.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah. Then it went the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah. Because I was like, what have I been listening to lately? And he just dropped the
Usher's killing it.
God.
Killing it right now. The Watch This?
Man, and I still haven't. Hey, well, first of all, let's introduce our special guest today. My guy. First of all, bro, I love you, man.
Love you too, bro.
Let me tell you, I've known James Davis, stand-up comedian, very funny man, hosts so many shows, and we met on Wildin' Out.
Yep.
The auditions in L.A.
Yep.
And I feel like we just vibed from the jump.
Yep.
You know, in especially being on set with Wildin' Out, it's a lot of personalities. It's a lot of energy. Me and James were like only L.A. cats in there like, man, let's just chill on the side.
Yeah.
So make some noise for our guest, James Davis.
Thank you. I feel like I'm with family. This is my dog right here, man. So, you know, Ricky, you know, always show love. So nice to meet you, Nikki.
Nice to meet you.
But yeah, let's get into it,
man.
I've
been trying to get you on this shit.
I know, and then I was trying to get on it, but you know, people be working, you know.
It's fact.
It's a blessing to be busy.
Yep.
100%. And I'm every time you deny my invite, I'm happy for you.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Because you stay working.
You don't want the opposite. Like, I'm just chilling on set. Like,
yeah, I'm down whenever, dog.
Yeah.
Well, you want me in 5 minutes? Yeah.
Any day is
somebody drop out,
me.
That's crazy, because I'm in the parking lot. I just was in the area.
You right behind me. What's up,
bro? What's up, bro? I got a story.
I'm sure you got stories, too, you know?
Nah.
And here's something you have in common with our co-host, Nikki Blades, is she just got heavy into the golf life.
Yeah, she was talking a little golf, and I was trying to, like, feel her out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're really good.
I am. I am above decent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I am beyond average.
I tell you how good James Davis is, because we were, you know, when you find a homie, before golfing got really popping, like, this past year,
right,
amongst the youths,
yeah.
Me and James were like, oh, shit, dog, you golf?
Yep.
I was like, yo, I got a set. I ain't really played in a minute, but I got a set.
Yep.
And so, like, we played a little round of golf.
Have
and
fun.
I feel like maybe 3 holes into it, I saw James' face like, ah, yeah, Tim, man, you kind of, He was kind of like,
I had to change my mindset, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like.
We playing a round.
Yeah.
I thought we were playing a round, but we playing a round. Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, it's the homie, you ain't play with him, so it's like, oh, yeah, bet. You know, it's a little competition. We going to see what it is. After hole 3 is like, man, we going to hang out. We going to shoot the shit.
Let's just not even keep score.
Exactly. We hanging out, man. This is the bar, but on grass.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, and for me, you know, especially in those situations, after like the 4th, 5th hole, I'd be like, I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
we played 9 though, right?
We did play 9.
Yeah, we finished it out. It was fun.
It was, you know, hey man, look, hanging out with buddies is always fun. Like I said, I've known you for a long time.
Exactly.
Met you through Wildin' Out, and I was a couple funny Wildin' Out shits I wanted to talk about because they're very specific stories.
Me and you, okay, can I just start with this? Like, to Tim's point, me and him would always be kind of on the outside looking in. Like, a part of the show, fuck with the whole cast, all love, like, all homies. So never, like, on a judgment thing, but just, like, our energy was different.
Yeah.
So we just had a lot of moments of observational humor watching what was going on around us. And Wildin' Out, what people don't know, is pretty much – the Hunger Games
yes.
behind camera.
And look, Blades, you been on set. You know the energy's crazy. Ricky Blade. I mean, Ricky Blades.
Ricky Blades.
Ricky Blades. Yeah, we got Murray.
You took my last name. Yeah. That's right.
Hey, look, I'm a bitch.
You've been on set.
Progressive.
Yeah. I've been there. I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Energy's crazy.
Crazy.
And on stage specifically.
On stage is wild.
Because mm-hmm. everybody, and it's dog, especially look, okay, as the seasons progressed, it got less Hunger Games because I think everybody, production and cast, began to realize we could film the whole shit and they could just cut it.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it was more. They were cutting more like precise. So if you didn't get your joke off,
wow. mm-hmm.
you weren't getting a chance. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now it's like they kind of film it so that everybody can get a joke off and then they'll cut
they'll
the
decide
weak
afterwards.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the beginning though,
nah.
it was rough.
You were it's hilarious. You're watching an episode and you don't know literally in that crowd that everybody's like bopping and it's wild style. People are fighting for mics. Like literally like, give me the mic, like yeah. won't let go of the mic, like a dude can be rapping and killing it, and you don't even notice there's a cast member behind him, not even listening to the rap, like,
tapping his
just get ready to the mic, bro. Hurry yes. up, I need the mic, bro. Like, it's so crazy. Like, it's like you need a natural level of thirst in order to kind of like succeed in that situation. Yep. And we LA dudes, like, yeah. we not thirsty like that. Like, yeah. I'm funny, but like I'm funny because I'm funny. Not like I don't yeah. be fighting for the attention mm-hmm. of the spotlight. So yeah. like it just be funny, like us being on stage and just be around and being like, this is really happening. Which this is just my opening to some of the stories.
Yeah. yeah. Well, because I be trying to tell people sometimes, like if you were somebody that just showed up while we were filming Wildin' Out and you saw me chilling, you would think I'm like a shy person mm. because the energy is so crazy, and I'm not the type, and you know, I think we're all kind of like this.
Yeah,
I don't like competing for
yeah.
like for energy
oh
and shit for like the spotlight. Mm-hmm. I just like to chill.
Yeah.
So me and James, he's probably the only person that would just be chilling with me, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's the thing. Like even in like while we're getting ready, people are rapping and battling and yes. singing,
yeah.
and like the like before people go, like people are always performing. Yeah, they're always on. And
yeah.
it's just like. Mm-hmm. Hey man, you want to have a little drink and just chill out to the side
yeah,
until this episode starts?
So I remember one time, and I'm not going to name any names, but there was someone, we had a special guest, right? Fucking James Davis came up with a banger of a joke he had for Wild Style. He told it to me. He's like, yo, I'm going to say this. I was like, crazy. And I don't know, maybe someone, maybe you know, you're around. You're kind of being mm-hmm. like, oh, I got something in my mind. You share it with other people, right? So comes time for the Wild. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get your perspective after I tell this shit. we're on stage. It's Wild Style time. Mm-hmm. And then the special guest just happened to say something to one of the cast members. And the cast member was like, all right, replied with James's joke.
Damn.
Yo. With my bar.
Like, word for word.
And me and Tim are right there. And we just look at each other like, that's it. Is that not what I've been rehearsing with you?
No, it's funny. You did look at me because I looked at you and James. It's like you was like, I can see this, the anger and the fucking like, bro, you damn near could have shed a tear because I see the look in his eyes.
You took my moment from the episode, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
But upon reflection, when I think about that, because I knew you were going to bring that story up, the only thing that sucked is that season. Because I write as well. So mm-hmm. I was also a writer on that show as well as a cast member.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am giving people jokes, mm-hmm. but that joke was mine.
Yeah.
And I think that person might have said they didn't even like that joke. And that's why I was like, bet, you don't like it, it's mine, I'm about mm-hmm. to kill.
Yeah.
And then in the moment, because it came to him, he was like, oh, I got something that James had ran by me that I didn't want at the time, but right. I need now. And so that is the tricky part about being a writer and a cast member. And that kind of sucks on being that show. Because honestly, you need to focus all your energy on what you're doing in front of the camera on that show or you'll fade out. But I mean,
you're still working, bro.
Well,
I like to specify this too. Because like some people will be like, why does Wildin' Out? Why does the improv show have writers? You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Sometimes motherfuckers, like for me, for example, sometimes like, you just can't think of a, like, let's say you know we about to play Let Me Holla, and I'm like, and sometimes you're like, okay, we about to play Let Me Holla. I might say this, right? But then sometimes people are like, yo, I'm stuck. I ain't got shit.
Yeah.
Hey, writers, do you have anything that might work? And they'll be like, I actually have some jokes that could work for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of little helpers.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's more lie. It's more like, what is it, like insurance?
Yeah.
Like it's not like the episode starts and writers just be like, this is your joke. This is your joke.
It's not scripted.
No. But like, yeah, if somebody, they don't want somebody to go out there and they can't think of nothing and they just go up there and die. They'd be like, all right, go holler at James. James got something.
Little insurance policy.
Yeah.
You know?
I've given away a lot of heaters. I've also given away some jokes that did not do too well. I'm be honest.
And look, it's all family up there. Like, I've given away, we help each other with shit.
Yeah.
You know, one time specifically, there was, man, fuck it. Let's give out some secrets, okay? There was an episode where Wildin' Out, and a lot of the celebrity guests, they're not professional comedians or rappers, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes
a lot of the cast aren't professional comedians or rappers.
Wow,
very true.
Bang bang. it was Drita, one of the Mob Wives. She was on, and I think Niall came up to me. He was like, "Yo, let me like Drita. Can you come up with a bar for her for Wild Style? Because you know she don't rap. Come up with something for her to say." I was like, "All right, cool." And that guest happened to be Asher Roth. And I was like, randomly, he was one of the guests, and I was like, "Yo, Drita, real quick shit." I was like, just say to him, "Yo, you got long hair like one of my bitches. Mess with me, I'll have you swim with the fishes." She was like, perfect, right? And then so it was funny because so it was a situation where
I remember that.
Yeah, where Asher Roth didn't say shit to her, but she's like, "Yo, let me get Asher Roth." And so she kills him, and he's like, "What the fuck?"
Nah, that's because they be lied to me like this is my joke. I gotta say it.
Yeah.
Well,
killed.
As a stand-up comedian, do you deal with that a lot, like joke stealing? Because I know that can be an issue in that community.
I mean, I really haven't. I be locked in on stand-up, honestly, like just on my own thing. I really feel like I have my own style. Like it's really hard to bite me because like I don't try to sound like anybody else. So like, even my cadence, my stories are very like kind of personal to me. So I feel like you might tackle a topic, but like my jokes are so original that someone else would be like, "That's James's joke." Mm-hmm. And if they don't, you know, and they got, if you stole my joke, I feel like then you're gonna be around people who are around me. Mm-hmm. You know, now if you're doing a joke similar to mine, I can't stop that. You know, people can think of similar things, and even that, how we execute our thought of that premise is gonna ultimately be different. So I really just be in my own lane and just feel like, can't nobody do me? So like,
I was just thinking that's the best way to go with anything. When you're doing and speaking about things that relate to you, nobody can take that away.
Right.
So every time you go and say your story, you can't be wrong because it's your story and they're your experiences. And then someone try to steal that, like, go find your own life.
Because even if it's like somebody wants to steal my golf joke, like you can try to steal the punchline of it. But like, you can't own my history in golf or my comfortability of talking about golf. Yeah. Like just the authenticity. You can't steal authenticity. You can steal a story.
I can steal that joke, though, because I used to golf.
But even still, you know what I'm saying?
But we heard that you're not that good, so.
If someone stole your golf joke, would you be teed off?
Oh, gosh.
Can you tweet that later so I can
I'm sure the joke would be subpar.
Oh! Wow, what a banger.
You know what I'm saying? Follow up. That's not even my lane, player. That's not even my lane. I don't even do the dad jokes.
Yeah, no.
I'm a deadbeat dad comedian.
Wow, that's fire.
That was cool. Do you ever get hit up to, like, help people punch up their shit, their stand up?
Man, I get money writing. Like, I straight up, that's how I, like, if you just trying to be a comedian, I feel bad for you, man. That is slow money.
So when you do that, do you really have to like focus to make sure it doesn't sound like you?
Nah, I'm just giving you me. If you need, here's the thing, if you need jokes, that means you are lacking in the joke creation department of yourself. You know, so you just need material. So you gonna say the joke that I probably would have said for myself, or a joke I came up with. And sometimes it's a joke you're like, dang, I wish I could have said this joke, but right now I'm being paid, so you get this joke. But you really just paying for my sense of humor, you know. I'm not trying to, like, if I'm writing for a Kevin Hart or a D.L. Hughley or whoever, like if they're hosting a war show, I'm not trying to write in their voice. I'm just like, bro, I got hot jokes. So
And then it'd be you
to just say what I tell you to say because I'm funny.
I wrote a song about how like I grew up kind of adjacent to the hood, and it's like it's crazy.
That's dope. You should do a show about that. You should, bro. That's clever.
If for y'all who don't know, James Davis had a show called Hood Adjacent.
One season, like all of them.
There's nothing worse than going to a doctor's appointment expecting to be the center of attention, and then your doctor seems like they have better things to do and better places to be. You know, instead of listening to you intently, asking you how you feel and help you along, the doctor is just checking their watch, ready to get out of there. Well, on ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you and listen to you to prioritize your care. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. So no more playing doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor that you haven't even met yet. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So go to ZocDoc.com/Tim and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/Tim. ZocDoc.com/Tim.
Well, it was all good, though. We working.
Good one.
We work. You we work. Working. And look, okay. TV is fickle. You know what I'm saying? It's getting a new season is a blessing.
It is.
And then to keep on getting new shows is a
super
blessing.
Let me just say this, because people don't know. Hood Adjacent wasn't canceled.
Oh, okay. What happened? Mm.
I walked away.
Wow.
On some Dave Chappelle type energy, just without the 50 million.
Yeah. Okay. But you still went to Africa, though.
I did not go to Africa. Oh, I went to Leimert Park. That's where I went. I went to Leimert Park, Africa Town.
Yeah.
Bought some incense.
But no, really, like I just didn't feel like the show would go in a direction that I would be proud of. Like,
really?
You know, that they were focused more on the adjacent than the hood. It just wasn't a good marriage of network and what I wanted to do for the show. And it still came out the first season was fire. Like
first season was great.
Yeah. We were meeting to do a second season, and then I got cast in the NBC pilot, and I was just like, I'm gonna do this. And then that didn't get picked up. And then
you're like, can I come back?
Yeah, but then I just was like, it was like an unhealthy relationship where it's like, okay, yeah, I would probably have another show, but I don't like how I'll be coming off. Yeah. You know,
right. And it's like settling right in your soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you got a second season, but if it's not the you that you want to be put out there, you out there, and then like your real fans or the real people who mess with you, they like, man, you kind of coming off a little. Yeah. That's not even worth it. I'd rather just get out the game and save my brand than like end up going into a territory where I gotta. And the more you are that person on TV, people see you as that. Like,
right.
Even with Real Husbands of Hollywood, like people really thought I was Kevin Hart's assistant. They'd come up to me like, man, why you let Kevin do you like that? I was like, because it's in the script, nigga. It's TV.
It's fake. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like even on a level as like me doing fucking YouTube sketches where it's like, this is not even like a TV show where I'm literally doing like super ridiculous sketches, you know what I'm saying? Every day, especially when we used to do more like the sketches about relationships and stuff, I always used to get the, how does his wife feel about this?
Yeah.
When like, yo, she has the internet too, guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. She knows what I'm doing, guys.
It's not like a secret page.
Yeah, I'm not fucking sneak shooting sketches. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so silly that people
can't. I work at Best Buy. Yeah,
like, what do y'all think I'm doing here? You know what I'm saying?
Idiots.
But yeah.
Well, speaking of stealing, there was one season of Wild It Out. This is so funny, though. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. Where Conceited took your pants. Do you remember this?
Was it no? It was just Chico.
Was it Chico or Conceited?
I think it was Chico.
Right, I'm like, because so there's
pants.
So I don't, like, first of all, those are my guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no issue.
I love how
like,
you have to set that up. Before
my
you
boys,
tell the story.
You know, because no, it's just honestly, this is like the most LA. This is just like this slash. This is just behind the scenes and wilding out type shit.
Yeah,
So it was the year. Okay, side note. every year you come into Wildin' Out, like, you bring your best drip. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, like, you bring your best Jordans, the newest Jordans that came out. You bring your flyest stuff. So that year, you know, leather pants were in.
They were Zane Robe. Okay. Zane Robe leather pants. Yeah. And I remember these pairs because I either bought the same shit or someone had, like, showed. They were, like, $500.
$600. Yeah. Kitson.
Oh, okay.
$600. Leather joggers.
Okay.
I had never even seen any other pair of leather joggers, full leather and like quality leather joggers.
Yeah, yeah.
I had another pair of joggers that were like kind of suede with a leather strip.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the number twos. But the number ones. The
right.
So
okay.
I think I wore them already once. And but what happens, I guess, is like you have your little area for your stuff. Somehow my pants got away from my area and got into general.
Because this was MTV 2 days still,
yeah.
So
yeah,
we were in an
office.
Oh, okay.
We're in like an office space.
Not like for season 10, right?
Not like for season 10. Okay. Season 10, you know, we had ass. Like, it was crazy,
it was huge
back there,
okay.
Right?
Nah, this is when we were in like just the 11th floor of a building.
Yeah.
So Chico comes out getting ready for his episode. And man, like I consider myself a chill dude. But it was just like, it was haunting to me. I was like, I know there ain't no other pair of these. Like, I know they don't have no spare leather joggers in this building. And, and then just the thought of like, this is a grown ass man in my pants. And then our leather pants is hot in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like Chico's a homie. He was like, oh, my bad. But it was just a weird kind of thing. I was like, oh, those my, that's not like tying them. That ain't the wardrobe.
It's not wardrobe.
That came from home. Smart. You know, that's mine.
I remember.
And I had to be like, I need those.
Yeah.
Like, you can't wear them.
Like, if it was my Nike sweats, even if he was wearing my Jordans, but it was like, you can't have my thighs. You can't have your thighs in my leather pants.
It was so funny because, like I said, you know, We're chill people. James is a very relaxed dude. Relaxed. But I just remember walking into the room and he looked so just perturbed.
Flustered.
Yes.
Flustered.
Like, what's going on, man?
Who, like, how does this happen? Who's moving leather pants around in here? I know I didn't leave these by the other general clothes.
It was great. I was cracking up inside. But outside, I say, hey, man, what you going to do?
You wearing, to the back leg.
You're wearing my most prized pant. And at that time, a $600 pant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now, you know, 2022, we living. You know what I'm saying? You might have a couple pairs of $600.
Oh, no, I still won't do that.
Okay. I mean, honestly, me neither. But if it calls for it. But, like, yeah, at the time, that was definitely probably my most expensive pant.
Oh, definitely.
Those history. Were the investment pants. It's Those are the ones I'm going to be seen in these pants.
I bought it for TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
For me to be the one wearing right. it on TV. Mm-hmm. And Chico got more episodes off top. So you can have more episodes and be wearing my pants, an episode I'm not even in.
Jokes getting stole.
Pants getting stole.
Oh, man.
What else has been stolen from you?
Oh, man. I mean, besides that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Not really. I everybody can say that. I think everybody's had a little swag, a little artistic inspiration out here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, do me.
Like I said, you are the man with the many shows.
Yeah.
You always got a new show.
Yeah.
One time I was on one of your shows and one of your co-hosts was saying racial things to me.
Oh,
what?
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
It was like I forget. It was like
mostly football on Complex.
And it was, so it was like a sports show, but it was like, yo, we gonna have you on, just talk about you. I was like, cool. And
then I'm excited. You were on a sports show.
But okay. He was like, I'm like, hey dog, I don't be like talking about sports. Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
They're like, it's fine.
And dude was like, it's cool. I got something to talk about. Yeah, I got you.
It was one of those situations where someone feels like they can joke at you, but you like, hey dog, you don't know me like that yet. Yeah. If James was saying these jokes, I'd be like, ah, all right, you do it. We would have. But I was like, oh, you just said I eat sushi out of nowhere.
Like, oh. Okay, you know, we have all seen Tim on Wildin' Out. So we've all seen the jokes he gets on Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
Now picture that coming from a non-cast member without a beat or rapping. Yeah. Someone saying the same like wild like diss, but and like you don't know Tim.
Yeah.
I was a little flustered. Not gonna lie.
Tim's like, well, you know what? I'm happy that happened to you. Welcome to my world, dog. This dude's fans, bro.
They just come at you.
Fried chicken. What the fuck, buddy? I don't know you.
And that's what's so stupid, right? Is because they'll see, you know, in our like older sketches or whatever, we make a lot of like racial jokes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So motherfuckers see.
Honestly, it wasn't even a lot, bro.
No, it was no racial.
No, but you gotta be racist to latch on to just that just part. That. Not you guys are hilarious. It's just the racist part.
So people would see Rick with me and be like, oh, they was making these jokes, and they feel like they could just randomly say some fried chicken shit to Rick. Yeah. And it's like, hey, dog.
It's not how that works. No, so you get beat up in real life.
I beat your ass.
That's right.
And that was always my dilemma. I'm like, am I allowed to beat this dude up? Mm-hmm. Now that I have a status and he's small,
right?
Am I allowed to do this or do I have to laugh it off?
Like, why?
Not laughing it off.
Like, why does he get a pass because you were out here working?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly. So, yeah. Take that. So,
well, it doesn't feel good, Rick. What'd you say?
I said, sushi boy.
You know what it was, too? So it was mostly football and the main host was this ex-football player. Okay. So it was just uncomfortable because it was like this big black dude. And also he thought, he's one of those dudes who thought he was way funnier than he was.
Yeah.
And that's why they had people like me and Tim on the show to bring actual funny.
Yeah.
But like, so, but he's not used to people being like, that's inappropriate because he looks like.
Because he's like, what are you going to do about
he's like,
it?
I'm from Wakanda, you know, like.
And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, do I? Cause you know, granted, this is not a like a roasty show. So I'm like, am I supposed to fucking rebuttal this shit? Like, what am I? So I'm just kind of like in that situation where I just got.
But that's also a Wildin' Out curse because people are always roasting each other on Wildin' Out. Yeah. So even if our show wasn't that, but you were on the show, and I think he watches Wildin' Out, and he's like, but it's like, bro, you're not trained, you're not skilled in that.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had someone joke around with you to the point to where you really thought about fighting them? Has anybody crossed the line while roasting?
Like on stage?
No, well.
Or like in that type of situation?
I mean, yeah, in like that type of situation, you know, whether it's on set or in real life, have you guys ever
encountered? Definitely.
Yeah? Somebody like crossing the line.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is a line cross for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're
like,
talking about
I don't know you?
Like in the situation we were just talking about.
Yeah,
similar. Like, but have you ever been in that to where you kind of were like, it's worth it. I might actually punch you. It's okay.
There's been situations where friends of the dude talking realized what was going on and had to be like, move him away. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah, like that type of shit. Cause get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a positive of like growing up around gang members. It's just like, I just give off an energy kind of like, I'm not with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I don't roast. I don't just come off top and just roast. Mm-hmm. I've never been that person unless we have like a real, like if Tim was to like roast me, I could roast him. Cause like there's a true understanding, but like just like off top, like, like I've even felt like a little bit funny when I, or weird when I like made fun of like, when you're, I was talking about lift up your sock, you know what I'm saying? Cause it's like, I don't know you yet like that, to like just be like doing that. So I don't really put off that energy like to be like, for you to be roasting me. But I will say, and it goes back to my, like, because I'm passionate about golf, the last time somebody made me mad where I was like, hey, I may not finish 18 holes is because I was playing with a friend and then his friend was just talking too much shit about my golf.
Oh.
And I was having a day where I was playing awful.
Oh.
And I was like, bro, you don't know me like that to be talking about my shots.
You over here like, you see all these clubs?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you how good my swing is real quick. Hold on.
We were doing betting, and by like the 11th, 12th hole, I was like, y'all bet amongst yourselves. Like, y'all lucky I'm just going to complete the round because your boy.
Oh, you brought it up.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Homies. Okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, I lost some money, some skins. I was supposed to Venmo. No. You don't get your money.
Cause old charge boy, that to the game.
Charge it to the game. Because old boy was acting weird.
Weird.
You don't get your skins money.
You know, bring weird niggas to the court.
Come
you
get
don't
it.
Get
right. Pull up on me and get your skins money.
How did you get into golf like that?
It's crazy. So I got two uncles who play, but they didn't really. It was my mom. She just signed me up for lessons when I was 12.
Oh, you took lessons when you. Oh.
So you've been playing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I played junior golf. Like, I got a full scholarship to Hampton University to play golf.
Oh, you've been shit. Good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, no. But, I'm almost back to like where I was, like where I was like, so nice.
So when we were eating, we were talking about golf because I'm 5 days in. Five days into actually swinging.
But her swing is solid, bro.
Some people got it.
Yeah.
So I'm learning everything. I'm like, I'm really just wanting to soak in the game, the culture as much as possible. And I had seen that you played and we were talking about it. And Tim was like, no, he's like, good. Like, could go pro good. Mm. And then to hear that you actually have been doing this your whole life, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Golf was my sport. You know, like, this is a funny story. I got cut from basketball in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I ain't like that feeling. Mm. And around the same time, the golf lesson started. And, like, you can't get cut from golf.
Because so it's just you.
It's just you. Yeah. I mean, actually, you can get cut in golf later. But, like, basketball, I was like, I love, like, basketball is probably my favorite sport in general. Mm-hmm. But golf is like probably like neck and neck, and golf is my best sport.
Mm.
Like I walk on any course, and I feel like I'm probably if you put me in a random foursome, like I'm probably the best golfer.
That's I believe it.
Which is fun.
That's like me with tennis.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
No.
I felt bad.
That was really hard because nobody knew what to do. Yeah. Everybody sitting here like, shit, baby, did he really play? I'm thinking about any time I've talked to you. I was like,
I still play Curly.
I was like, I think he fucking with us on this one.
It's funny because I'm like, wait, we've been friends for a long time. But I was like,
when you said really, I was like,
no, you know where I got it mixed up?
What?
It's because you used to do that sound effect all the time.
So, that was women's tennis. It's completely different.
Hilarious. Women's tennis is lit. I can watch women's tennis.
Wow, that's pretty sexist of you.
I don't care.
Against men. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, and?
Yeah, no, the only time I like men's tennis is when that one tennis dude is talking shit to like the fans. Like, there's one dude who just, like, doesn't care. He just, he wore Jordans, and they told him not to wear Jordans. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't
know
his
Ben
name,
Stiller
but...
was in the stands talking shit.
What?
And he's in the middle of playing, like, hey, dude, stay in your lane. Like, do you play tennis?
And, like, tennis and golf, they have pretty strict rules as far as, like, dress code. There's been a lot of controversy over, at least in tennis, a lot of controversy over that.
Golf, too. They don't like hoodies. Golfers are wearing, like, hoodies instead of just, like, a regular, like, cardigan sweater when it's cold. Mm-hmm. And, like, old white dudes are like, oh, they're ruining the game with that hood. I don't. What's so controversial about the hoodie, man? Just in general, that little extra piece of fabric.
I don't know. Makes people mad.
It just up in turmoil.
You're not allowed to have your neck warm unless it's your whole entire neck. I guess.
They're like, you can't wear a hood unless it comes all the way over. That's the only proper way. White with two eyes.
So you can see
all the way over. If you're going to hoodie, you hoodie all the way.
God damn it.
Another thing they stole from us. Sorry.
Man, you just made me remember, I tried out for my high school golf team. Didn't make it.
Yeah.
I took lessons when I was 12 as well. Mm-hmm. But I was never, like, when I took golf lessons, I took them and like was annoyed though. Cause I was like, I don't feel like taking these lessons again. I think that's why I never fully like was all in.
Yeah. You tried Paramount?
No.
Alhambra?
No. Before I went to Paramount, I was going to school in Torrance. Right. I tried out that 1 year and then went to Paramount.
Yeah. And I've always loved sports. So I played a lot of sports growing up competitively. And then as I got older, I was watching golf. I was like, this seems cool. I think I might be able to do it because I'm that person that feels like I can do anything. But I did. But then when
Which
I started.
Is healthy.
I'm healthy a little bit. But when I saw pro athletes that didn't play golf start playing golf and realizing like you have no golf background, but you're athletic, you kind of are doing okay. So I started thinking, maybe this is something I could do. I played baseball. Baseball was my favorite sport that I was best at, but I love volleyball, but better at softball. So
I just dropped four sports real quick.
Yeah, I played all of them. But I hit up a friend after watching this last tournament that happened in Tahoe.
The celebrity one.
The celebrity one. And I was like, I think this is something I could do. I just so happened to hit up my friend Joaquin, who I'd worked with on a different show before. And I said,
Not Phoenix, right?
No. And I told him,
who name drop?
No. And I said, I think I could do this. I was like, I swing. I learn really quickly. Let's try.
I swing.
I just was like, I can swing a bat.
I've swung before.
Yeah. I was like, I can hit home runs. The ball's moving at me. I think I could hit it if it's stationary. Coming in really, very naive.
People be playing golf sweet. Like, it's a ball.
Yeah. It's a ball. It's right there.
Right.
It's not going anywhere.
And so after our first time around, we adjusted things and I picked it up pretty quickly. And so I fell in love with it. And for the last week, I've been out every day. I've already played two 9-hole courses. And got invited to 2 tournaments. And I'm like, I'm only 5 days. I can't see the ball after I hit it.
I'm gonna be honest. Ugly girls don't have that experience. I've been invited to 2 tournaments. I'm gonna be honest. That does not happen to every beginning golfer.
It's the Hooters tournament.
Fuck off. It was a charity tournament, all right? And it was peaks.
To her credit, even when you posted something from Topgolf one day, I commented, I was like, yo, that just keep that left foot down and you great. You're solid.
And I told him, I was like, I hit home runs. I don't know how to unlearn something that I've been doing since I was 6. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, no, you got it. And then I got lucky to work with the right person, sending me videos. I told him how I learn. I have a folder on my phone to where it's like referencing different golfers and adjusting swings into the point where I'm learning like how to shallow now to...
Okay, talk that golf talk.
I'm trying. I really...
Because you got to shallow it out on the downswing. You know, you don't want to come over the top.
Right,
you got to have that thing kind of tucked in.
Yeah, tucked in.
A little whipping motion / frisbee motion, but you played a sport that'll actually help you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll turn this thing into golf pass real quick.
Do it.
I was so excited when I saw that you golfed because now I got the bug and everybody says you start getting addicted initially. You got a lot to learn and... I have to shout my friend out. Brandon Fox had made this because he throws golf tournaments.
Okay.
And the whole fairway.
I thought you were dating the starting quarterback.
No. No, it's our green jacket.
Oh.
It's the green jacket.
Got it.
The updated version. But yeah, I fell in love with it. I'm learning every day. And I'm the type of person that becomes obsessed with something. I've already set my goals. I said, when I do a tournament, I want to do well.
Yeah.
And I don't want no one to bullshit me. I'm like, I want to go. And people be like, oh, shit, she's not just here because she's pretty. Mm-hmm. She actually can do this. So I loved that.
That's what I thought James was.
Your creator, influencer, all that stuff, too.
Oh, no, it helps a lot.
But I will say this. This is because I don't want to make this all about golf, but like, this is for everybody here. Like, they're like, golf is like really popping right now. And like, the golf bag is like long. Yeah.
It's kind of
long. And I'm saying not like I used to want to just play professional golf. Now, like, I just want golf money, golf influencer money, playing in those tournaments. Like, you might get 5-6 racks just to play in a charity tournament, like just to play in a pro-am or you personally, like, if you get your swing to a point where like you're really confident in how you're hitting it, like you can instantly like whatever money you're making just like on social media in general, on the golf side, big money.
And I'm
trying to do that.
Yeah, and I'm blessed to be on this because some of the guests that we've had on golf. So I'm in conversations with people that are already in it, like deep in it, that are saying, no, you do a couple more courses, I'm going to play with you. And then I'm willing to take you with me with some of the stuff that we're doing. I know people that got sponsored within 7 months and they're like, no, you could probably go like in 3. If you do what you keep doing and focus up and take it serious, you have a chance.
Golf is like the Soho House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, it is. You go to Soho House, you want to meet people and then you connect or whatever. And that's everybody in whatever field you're really interested in.
Yeah.
The top people, they golf.
Yeah.
All of them. So you can be waiting for your general meeting set up by your agent, or you can just play golf with Anthony Anderson. or Cedric the Entertainer, whoever, you know, Mark Wahl, whoever. But I just spoke to the head of the CAA golf department.
Oh, did you? They got a golf department?
Yeah, I know. It took me a while to know that, too.
Barlita.
You don't golf, Tim.
I know.
But yeah, but it's been crazy because I don't get dressed up when I golf. Lately, the videos that I've been posting, I'm going like hair back, hat on. It's not really the showy, the Top Golf I did. Mm. I was, you know, showy. I'm at Top Golf. Let me have my hair down. I'm cute. Look at my outfit. But the last videos I've been posting, the perspective on the content changed because it's not like, oh, she's trying to get seen or, oh, my boobs are out or this is golf content. Look at me hitting heels. It's like, oh, shit.
She's grinding.
You're really out here on a course day four. Yeah. Okay, cool. And to where somebody posts up, I call him my coach pretty much. He'll put what I did, what I was swinging, and go with the stats so other people are understanding, like, yeah, she's not just swinging. This is what actually happened. So it's been really, really cool.
And
to
now
be out
you
there.
Can get some golf hoes. All your golf groupie dudes are gonna pull up on you because you got.
I will say, I mean, I don't know what your status is, but I mean, you getting out there with the golf stuff. All the little CEOs, you know what I'm saying?
CEOs.
All the little CEOs. I was gonna say it, Ricky.
My bad.
Dang it!
Cut that out when I said it. Go.
All the little hoggles.
Yes, I love me a little hoggle.
A little hoggle, you know what I'm saying? Little Elon Musk.
Yeah, we're all gonna have to go one time now.
This is true. And, oh wait, what?
We all can go golf.
Oh, facts.
I'm not.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
You already said you're gonna be my caddy.
You're a dad.
Oh yeah, I'll be a caddy.
I am a dad.
That's golf is tough on that.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time.
You don't really
though.
Have 5 hours to just throw away.
I don't.
And I didn't know how much I wouldn't be on my phone. It's like my phone is somewhere else. I'm missing calls, FaceTimes. I'm like, I'm on the course. Why are you hitting me up right now?
Side note, that's my little toxic thing I love to do.
Ignore people all day.
Get into an argument with a girl and then go golfing in the morning.
Which I talked to
I'm out of here. I'm on the course, baby. You have to work through that.
But you know what? I didn't know how, I thought that person I was talking to one time said, I've been golfing. I'm like, who the fuck golfs for 5 hours? What the fuck are you doing? And then I'm out there. I was like, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Remember that one time I was crazy?
Yeah. I apologize. So, yeah, that's why I missed your call because I was on the course.
And then I got my ex at the time to think that every time I did anything golf related, it was 5 hours. So I go to the driving range. She'd be like, you still golfing?
Yep. Who's out there fucking? Wow. Speaking of fucking.
I knew it was going to circle here.
No, it wasn't going to make any sense. Speaking of fucking, adorableness. How was
that's
that?
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up. Tell us about adorableness, because when that shit came out, I was like, lit. James Davis is hosting adorableness. He in this family with me.
I know, you know, that's my, but that was like my second iteration. So first I did WTFness and I did 2 episodes of that.
Did that like air on TV or did
aired on TV for 2 episodes? Really? And if it did well enough, it was supposed to do more episodes. Didn't. Then they were like, we got a new one for you, Adorableness. I was like, bet.
Yeah.
You know, because those Nesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
They pay nice.
Yeah.
They nice.
And I mean, it almost feels like literally like you get God just blesses you with that job.
I was just going to say, dog, every time deliciousness gets picked up for more, I'm like.
It's spiritual, right? It's just like a blessing.
Yes.
Thank you. Like, yes.
You're like, I've been doing right.
Yeah, I've been living good. I've been a good person.
Right.
So, but adorableness, I'll be honest, man. When I was like, I'm happy for the money.
Yeah.
But adorableness, me, like, I was like, I get it. Like, I'm going to make adorableness cool. It's not going to be corny. The comedy is I'll make things that might be like fluffy and whatever cool or the opposite. And it just, I mean, the mix of people, it was all good people, but I was even like, this is a weird mix. Like, why not put me with my homie? Like, put me with Tim or like, for the audition, they had me ask to have friends. So I had Teddy Ray audition. They put him on another show.
Messiness.
Yeah, they put him on Messiness. But I brought him in for the audition. They weren't even on him.
Damn.
And so it's like, I'm on a show with nobody I'm really friends with.
Right, so the chemistry is
The chemistry is weird. It's like, I think it's a testament to me that I can host a show and create chemistry or be cool with like the girl from American Pie.
Right, right.
You know, Ross from E, and yeah, like Dulce, like all these people who I wouldn't kick with any of these people in real life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but
bang, bang.
You know, it was what it was. It didn't get picked up for more episodes. So
it happened.
They're actually still trying to get me another one.
Another Ness?
Yeah, and then just recently they're just like, nah, we can't figure it out. So
it's, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but like,
I don't have a passion for it. I just want some money.
Look.
Well, if they're over there like, guys, we can do blackness. No.
Nah. I've had all those actual conversations. Yes. They're like, we want it to be your own show, but like, not blackness, but like, but yours.
Hoodness.
Man.
My hoodness.
I pitched pettiness.
What?
Pettiness.
Oh, yes.
Then thirstiness. Because like, you know, clout chasing. I thought that one was going to work. And then that, you know, I almost did one called sportiness with like, it was gonna be like the episode Trey Young, Travis Kelce, and somebody, Skylar Diggins.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And then everyone's just gonna be making sushi jokes.
you know athletes.
Them athletes, boy.
That was so funny.
I mean, not gonna lie, bro. Even with Deliciousness, you know, when they brought me on, and I felt blessed because, you know, pivoting into the food shit opened up a lot of doors. That being one of them, and then so. I was on that shit like, this is a weird combination of people. Like, but then luckily, we all got along really well. So the chemistry kind of popped mm-hmm. after a couple episodes, right? But I was like, in my head, I was like, man, all right, cool. That was fun. I did not think it was going to get picked up. Yeah. And then I was like, oh!
It's got picked up twice, right?
Yeah, third season's about to air mid-August.
So you already shot the third season?
Yeah.
How many episodes?
Bro, like 20.
Damn.
20 or 30. It was crazy.
You couldn't lie?
I can only.
You couldn't say, oh, it was no, only 9.
No, no.
We real friends. I'm over here. I'm over here because I know the numbers. Yeah. I'm like, oh, boy.
And guess what? They had leather pants for me every episode.
Every episode.
$700 episode.
It was great, dog.
So Tiffany wasn't walking out with your pants?
No. Man. If she did, I would have took them back and sniffed them on my way home. Just playing.
Oh, my God. Did you have a crush on her for Saved by the Bell?
Of course.
Here's the thing. I did, but I had a bigger crush on Lisa. So
you like Valley Girls.
That's what you had over everybody else. But so, like, but she's like, yeah, so I don't know. But she kept up the best. I mean, I don't know what Jesse looks like, but
Jesse looks great, great too.
She still looks great.
Yeah.
So only Lisa had.
She has some issues, but she's doing better now too.
She is. She is. Yeah, but she doesn't look like the old Lisa. I mean, she was 12, but you know, or 13, I mean, or however old she was. But.
Yeah. Well, so who would you say? Let's see. Who like was your like childhood TV show crush from back in the day?
I mean, definitely. Yeah, Lark Voorhees, Lisa from Saved by the Bell. She's on Queen Sugar now, but like everything she was on when she was younger, she was my crush.
Ooh.
Bianca Lawson.
Oh, that's familiar.
She was in Say the Last Dance. She was a little bitchy, little light-skinned girl.
With the, what else was she on?
Yeah, give me one.
But I got a visual.
She was on, I think she might have been on the new Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Okay.
You guys, I don't know if you guys Google on the show, but if you look her,
that's what I'm about to do.
Yeah, I mean, when you see her, you know her, and she's been a baddie. You know, Bianca Lawson. She was like a guest star, like if anybody needed a girlfriend on any of those 90s shows.
Oh, she's one of those.
She's never aged.
Yo,
she looks exactly the same.
Bomb.
She does a lot of vampire shows.
She was on
because she's a vampire.
She is gorgeous.
She is fine as.
I'm a
yeah, she's well looked the same too.
There you have it, Bianca Lawson, the James
Lawson.
Is here. That's
and
what
her,
I said.
And her father is Richard Lawson, who's married to Beyonce's mom. So she's actually Beyonce's sister-in-law.
She's 43.
She's 43.
23.
Wow,
that's
she's
amazing.
43. She's beautiful.
I like if you're gonna be 43, that's how I like you to look.
Well, if you're just gonna make it to that age in life, you should probably still look the same.
If you're 43, look up Bianca Lawson and get your
you
shit together.
If you are fortunate to make it to the ripe age of 43,
yeah. Yeah. Fortunate if you got the audacity, right. out here.
If you got the audacity to be single and 43, you better put a picture of Bianca Lawson on the wall and get to climbing.
Get to climbing.
Get to Pelotoning.
There was this, speaking of the audacity, just randomly reminded me of that TikTok you sent me where this woman was like saying, how are you a man? And she was naming all this shit. Yeah. Like, how are you a man and you get your nails done? But then it was like, how are you a man and you putting up photo dumps on Instagram?
Some shit. No, she said, how you a man in 30?
Like, what? I'm tripping for a living. How are you a man in 30?
Oh, well, that brings us to this. How do you feel, bro, as a stand-up comedian coming from the like traditional stand-up world and also somebody who books mad TV shows, feel about having to keep up with social media, TikTok, Reels,
so
all
much,
that?
Bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel older than I am just because it's a whole shift in the approach of the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we all thought the goal was to get on TV and then movies, and that's how you get famous.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's programmed in my mind. Like, I had my plan was like to get on a sitcom or get on some kind of TV show, be a regular there, use that to get into movies. Mm-hmm. Then you do movies and you kill in movies and you're a movie star, and then you're Jamie Foxx or Will Smith or Eddie Murphy, and that's how it works. Now it's like, man, you can just be dancing on TikTok and leapfrog somebody who has a 10-year acting career.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I feel like one thing about me, I work. I may not be like A-list or like the most like popular, but like I work.
Yeah.
You've probably seen something I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, I work is not a flex. It's like what is your following? Like, how big is your actual brand? Because now somebody, like, I'd say skill-wise, I'm near the top of the comedy game.
Mm.
And I feel like people of less skill than me who have done a way better job branding are not even, like, it's just for sure further along than me.
Yeah.
Like, and it is what it is. Like, if you were to put my hour of comedy, no, fuck that. If you put my 5 minutes minutes,
yeah.
Like, I'm in a different class.
Right, right.
But there's only going to be 100 people who show up to my 5 minutes versus 5 million who want to watch their 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So then what's the value of the skill versus the draw?
Well, I think it depends too, right? I mean, I feel like it depends on how you see the trajectory of your career and shit. Because I feel like a lot of these social media people, right, that might have a big following, stand-up isn't as great. Like, yeah, it'll get you in the room. Yeah, it might get like a quick bag. But also, like, how, like, these people aren't gonna book, like,
what kind of power you got? What kind of influence you got?
Like,
my man Nipsey said, you know what I'm saying?
We've discussed this with some of the girls, because I get frustrated at times. I got into radio, part of it helped because of my social media. I had some numbers, I've done some things that helped. But that got me through the door. That didn't keep me there. I had to go and show up every day to work. I had to prove myself. I had to put my time in. We've been doing this for 3 years. You know, that's how you grow up that ladder and then get into other ventures. Mm-hmm. But there are times where I'm telling Tim, I'm like, yo, I'm so frustrated because I feel like I'm doing the right thing the right way instead of just shaking ass, showing tits, and just going back down that road so I can be further ahead. But I know that in the long run, when it comes down to the nitty gritty moments of like, who is going to be able to do this in the long run, I'm confident that I'll be there. So the reminder of, yeah, that's quick, but can you keep it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's really that. Like, even for women, I think especially like focusing on skill is the longer play because it's a fast, you can get in. I mean, off just sex appeal, you can get in front of whoever you want. You know what I'm saying? Kenya Barris. Tyler Perry, Eddie Murphy, whoever, just off looks, you can whoever works with them, you can get right there.
Right,
but it's like they'll always see you as that.
Right. Exactly.
Even when they're helping you, it's on some charity of like she ain't got no talent. I'm gonna offer whatever resources I got to get her what it is, but like this is some charity work. I'm not really invested.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just some bad bitch charity work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, On the other side, for like the social media, the TikTok, you can get a million followers and you can get really hot. But once, and all the networks want to work with somebody who has those followings. I've heard people say this, but once they get to the room, we're like, okay, you have 20 million followers. We want to give you a show, but can you act? Can you act well enough to lead that show?
Exactly. Or most of the time they can't.
even with like when they get an hour spot or they go on the road, it's like they have to bring a lot of people because mm-hmm. it's like you haven't done stand up enough to do an hour well. And you even if you get that first hour, are those people going to come back the next time around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, what are they really coming from? So it's a, and I feel confident that whatever room I come in, I'm bringing a host of skills from all the things I've done.
Right.
And for me personally, my journey is a longer one because I've always wanted control. I hated the idea of like auditioning for someone else, like mm-hmm. waiting on someone else, like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. hoping. And I hate these people who like feel like they have to network and I have to meet this person and know this person mm-hmm. in order from
to make
like,
any type
to
of,
make any moves yeah. when it's like. Like we, everyone in this room knows, like if you create your own situation, that's how you do it. So yeah. I've almost had like a content creator mentality, but within the actual industry.
Right.
So I've just curated relationships. I've sold shows or I've had my own show so that I can keep on pitching my own shows. And it's, and now when I pitch my own show, it's like understood, like, and I'm going to host that or I'm a star in that mm-hmm. for the most part. One of my shows, they're gonna make me audition, but like you gotta be humble, like, you know, I get it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like I'm always in a situation where I can create something for myself mm-hmm. rather than sitting at home waiting on auditions
yeah.
or waiting on someone to choose me. Like that's the worst, is for to ever be sitting at home waiting on somebody in Hollywood
stressful.
To choose you. Oh, that's how you don't sleep at night, that's how you kill yourself or yeah. you're mm-hmm. depressed. Like I always feel like there's something I can be doing to put myself in a situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also every job you get, you have to maximize everything in that situation. Like for example, Wildin' Out. Some people go on Wildin' Out and all they want to do is just kill on stage.
Right.
But it's like me and you, I feel we were just cool with everybody. So we leave Wildin' Out and we're cool with Viacom executives, mm-hmm. MTV executives, producers, like, showrunners.
They
like,
mess us up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like we work past that, and it's not just like a wilding out. Now it's like, no, we have a relationship with MTV mm-hmm. and Viacom and all that stuff, and it keeps coming around. But some people just have the mentality of like, I'm only here to just shine, to just be DC Young Fly. And it's like, you know, like DC Young Fly, like Carlos, Chico's, and then when you really peel that back, even the people who look like they've had it easy. Have been grinding and
right. mm-hmm.
so it's like you just really gotta hustle, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
You can't be no privileged little, you know, just hoping. Ain't no sugar daddies in Hollywood.
I mean,
I mean, there are. That was a very bad metaphor. Right, like,
so that's where a lot of them is at.
Exactly.
That was really bad.
Not for you and me.
Not for us.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like,
you good.
Yeah, but for me and you.
I'm saying.
There's always that door. There's always that button you can push.
Yeah, no, literally, it's asshole. Yeah.
Leave his booty button alone.
Well, Rick probably got some sugar mamas that we like would hey, never look, expect, man.
I would love that.
I bet you turn down women like Viola Davis. Yeah. She in his DMs, like, you know what I'm saying?
If they have a Chunky Chaser specific sugar mama page, ooh, website, any of that shit, I'll be on that bitch like, what? Oh, lady, come get this dick. Yeah. Give me some money, get this dick.
I feel like Doja Cat will let you fuck.
For money?
No.
He said, because I'll do it for all free.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I
love
you. That's how I see you, bro.
Hey, well, I appreciate that.
You saw the other, yesterday, Saweetie, she was shooting her shot at a fan.
No, while she performing.
Wasn't. Yeah, she was.
While performing? Mm-hmm. What did she do?
Stop the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I just saw the video. I'll show you guys.
She was standing like right here talking to Tim, and I'm just here, and she didn't say shit to me. That's how it is. Okay, cool.
That wasn't God's plan, you know?
See, that wasn't Doja.
He holding me
that
for Doja.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Doja around Doja. Yeah.
He got you on ice for Doja. Yeah, that's right. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, okay, well, like, Doja's my celebrity pass, so I'm gonna go ahead and
that's your celebrity pass.
Yeah, like, I brought that up to like my, like, you know, if my little hall pass, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm gonna cock block you on that.
We gonna swap.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gonna give me the sweetie talkings next?
Got
time.
You. Yes. Well, right, I think that's cool. The plan. How about you?
I knew that's where it was going. I already started thinking.
I've never been given a hall pass. I was told no.
I don't have a real one. You don't but get one. This is the conversation. Right.
You would
have. Oh, man. I don't get one.
You know what? It's two.
Okay.
And they're both in the new Diddy video.
Oh.
Interesting.
Diddy making music?
Yeah. Do you guys even like go on the internet? Bro. Do you just create and then turn off the Wi-Fi?
He's talking about Diddy's OnlyFans video he just posted.
No, the song with Bryson Tiller. The song just came out on YouTube. You guys have watched music videos on YouTube? Weirdos?
I don't.
YouTube, right, but
who are the girl?
So Soraya.
Oh, Soraya.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. She was on Power. Not Power. Yeah. Fucking
The Shy? No. What Star? Is she on?
No.
She was on but she was, it was Empire.
Show. Empire.
Empire.
Oh, yes.
And Joy Chavez.
Joy.
Features baby mama.
Chavez.
Joy. Oh yeah. She's. Yes. She's
it.
Yes. Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
Just like a like honestly, like if you had to look, like, people are pretty, people are gorgeous, beautiful, and some people are just, like, a bad bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And Joy Chavez is just a bad bitch.
Yeah.
And, like, she can dance crazy well. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, Bow Wow baby mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
you've been privy.
Yeah, I'm young. I mean, I'm old. I don't know.
That's how old you are. Yeah. You didn't even. I'm young. Yeah. Well, that's not the word.
Yeah.
I'm
old. Wait a minute. What the name is? Old. Yeah. That's what it is.
But yeah. Joy Chavez.
She's pretty. All
right.
That's yeah.
Well, Sunday, you heard here first, Joy and Soraya.
I'm not shooting my shot. You know what I'm saying? I'm just answering the question. I'm not on no fan shit. I actually don't even follow Joy.
Oh damn.
You know why? I'm on my new thing. Like if I meet people, I meet people, but just out here liking pictures and liking stories.
Can you say that into the camera? Because I would like to send that clip to somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's fan behavior.
That's not, what? That's fan behavior?
I'm not nobody's fan. You better be a fan of me.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna save this clip. We're gonna post this one on social. Save this, because I'm gonna repost it. Thank you.
What I look like in your story is just liking your
what
life.
I look like in your story is just liking.
You better find me, or we just don't know each other. I'm not following nobody I don't know liking pictures like, hey, I'm just another nigga who likes this picture. You better
what I look
you better
like.
Put some respect
what
on me.
What do I look like?
Well, mm-hmm. I am just another nigga who likes this picture.
He's like, I am 1,052.
I don't be remembering y'all names. If somebody said, hey, you follow her, I say, who? I think so.
You might get followed for like a week or two, and then I get my mind right, and I'm like, man, we fanning right now.
Like, moment of weakness, I was drunk.
Yeah, we out of here, man.
That's funny.
Well, shit, man, is there anything else you want to plug, talk about?
Hey, this has been fun. Like, honestly, I just want to come back.
We won't talk about golf next time, but like if y'all fuck with that, we will.
Well, we can just have a part two, because we didn't even get to like golf bays. You know what I'm saying? Golf, because I honestly feel like golf vacation. That's the ideal, is to have a nasty golf vacation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
18 holes, we focused on the game.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, we putting it in another hole.
Another hole, the 19th hole.
Condom on the club.
Get it.
All right, bet.
So this is what getting into golf is going to be like. All right.
Yeah. Let's go golf in Cabo.
Okay.
But we can't golf at night. So now what
we're
going to
do? Damn, you're going to have all these girls out here like, ooh, I'm going to
have you down on all fours.
All
right, y'all. Thank you for watching. Shout out to James Davis for pulling up over time.
Shout out to you guys.
Hey, make sure y'all follow him on everything. Follow us on everything. Sure,
by the way, everything is at the James Davis, by the way.
Yes.
T-H-E-E James Davis. E-E.
Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all that bullshit. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
I'm Ricky Shucks.
I'm Nikki Blaze.
Bye.